The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Okay, Friday is technically a day of penance, but most of us can't help but feel a bit of joy over the fact that the weekend is just around the corner. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Friday, May 5th, 2023, Friday of the fourth week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle 1, and Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Our saint today is Saint Hilary of Arles. Born in 400 to a noble family in Lorraine, he gave up his secular career to join St. Honoratus at Lerins Abbey. When Honoratus died after being named the Bishop of Arles, Hilary was chosen as his successor in 429. He was known for his austerities, his aid to the poor, and for ransoming captives. On two occasions, Hilary became embroiled in controversies with Pope St. Leo the Great, but they were reconciled, and Hilary's sanctity brought him great veneration. St. Hilary of Arles died in 449 AD. St. Hilary of Arles, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you everything I do this day, my work, my prayers, my apostolic efforts, my time with family and friends, my hours of relaxation, my difficulties, problems, distress, which I shall try to bear with patience. Join these, my gifts, to the unique offering which Jesus Christ, your Son, renews today in the Eucharist. Grant, I pray, that vivified by the Holy Spirit and united to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, my life this day may be of service to you and your children and help consecrate the world to you. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray that church movements and groups may rediscover their mission of evangelization each day, placing their own charisms at the service of needs in the world. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In today's Gospel, Jesus, you speak to us about heaven and you give us great hope for heaven. You tell us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still and trust in me. I want to trust in you, Jesus, because sometimes my heart is troubled. But then you go on to tell us about this heaven that's in store for us. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If there were not, I should have told you. Many rooms in my Father's house. And then you tell us, Jesus, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful thought. You're going to heaven to prepare a place for us. That's what you told your disciples at the Last Supper. What a lovely image. First of all, heaven as God's house. Heaven as a family home. Let's hang on to that. Let's really appreciate that. Going to heaven is going home, going to our true family life. And there are many rooms. Again, what a lovely idea. There's lots of space. There's lots of ways to be in heaven. How wonderful the church is. How wonderful that word is, Catholic, which means universal, open to all good approaches. I love going to the World Youth Days. Maybe my friend will see each other there in Lisbon in August for the World Youth Day with Pope Francis. Do try and come. And I love going to them because you see so many forms of life in the church, some of them quite weird and wonderful. Every time I go, there's always one group that seems to spend all its time dancing. Seems to be their charism. Well, if that's what takes you to God, good luck to them. God bless them. There are many rooms in my Father's house. And in that heavenly home, which is heaven, there'll be rooms which maybe are more Asian style and some more European style or African style, with all the variations within those continents. And there'll be rooms according to different charisms, maybe Franciscan or Benedictine style rooms, the Diocese of such and such a place rooms. or rooms more according to the charism of some lay organization in the church. With lots of variety, so much variety in heaven, there might be charismatic style rooms, or rooms with more solemn and traditional type music or liturgy, and Baroque style rooms, more Gothic style, rooms with more modern music, and yet perfect unity and harmony. We'll all sing the new song which we hear about in the book of Revelation, with the saints singing the new song, and all in good taste, and all in total conformity with God's plan, everything as God wants, nothing bad or corrupt or hidden, because nothing bad or evil can get into heaven. There won't be any, like, rotting things, like a rotting piece of toast forgotten in some corner of a cupboard. But all perfect and transformed, everything imperfect removed, everything raised up, elevated in the grace of God. And here the rooms are not to block out, because sometimes we can go into our rooms, can't we, to escape others. A room can be a way to hide or exclude, like the apostles hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews after Christ's death. And then the risen Christ suddenly appears among them. No, in heaven, rooms will not exclude. And I think of God preparing our room, God the Father, helped by the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our guardian angel helping out. It makes me think of mums when their child has been away for a long time. Maybe the child's been on an internship abroad, or a year abroad studying, but the child is back soon, the son or daughter. So mums clean the room specially well, and make sure it's well ventilated with air freshener. They make sure the bed has clean sheets and nicely puffed up pillows. And mums think of everything. She makes sure that the poster of his favourite football team, which had to be taken down when the room was painted, because mum thought of getting the room painted too, is now back in place. Or if it's a daughter, that poster, which she loves. And the parents have brought a new armchair because the previous one was getting a bit worn. And all this is the love with which parents prepare the room for their child returning. And this makes me think, Lord God, of how you're preparing the room, and you, Lord Jesus, Son of God, how you're preparing the room for us. This is room service with a difference, not just a competent, paid-for service of a hotel, which might be excellent, but it's always a commercial transaction. No money, no service. This is the service of love, as you, Jesus, acted as a servant to your disciples by washing their feet. This is the service of a mother or father. No pay, just gift. And Jesus, your service was infinitely more. You paid the price for our room in heaven. We don't have to pay for it. You paid the price of your blood in your passion and death. And Jesus, you've gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And somehow with your experience of being man, you, the Son who became man, the Son of God, you know what it's like, as it were, from the inside to be a human. Now, I don't think we can say that, as a result, Jesus, the Son, knows more about humanity for having become man. But we can say he knows humanly as a man. So as God and man, Jesus is preparing our room. He knows as a man what matters to us. And then, Jesus, you promise to come back and take us with you. I shall return to take you with me, you say, so that where I am, you may be too. You return at death, Jesus. You come to take us. Help us to see death as your arrival, to take us if we're ready to be taken. Hell is precisely to refuse the invitation, because we want something else instead. We don't want God. We want our pleasure. We want our possessions, our greed. We miss the boat, or perhaps plane might be a better metaphor, as we imagine going to heaven as ascending. And we stay behind with our possessions or earthly ambitions, and they don't make us happy. In fact, they only make us miserable. We reject the company of God and choose instead the company of demons. Let's not do that. Let's be ready for Jesus to take us. Let's desire his coming, praying often, "Come, Lord Jesus," Maranatha, that beautiful prayer at the end of the Bible, right in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. I want to be ready for you, Jesus, ready for your coming. When my granny got quite old, but was still living alone, we'd try to pick her up sometimes to take her out for lunch. And she really looked forward to it, and she'd always come down early to the entrance lobby of the block of flats where she lived. And there she would wait, and she'd always be well dressed. And no matter how early we arrived, she was there already. Because the lunch mattered a lot to her, and she looked forward to it. She looked forward to our arrival. Well, let's do the same for Jesus, praying often, "Come to me, Lord Jesus, come. I want to be ready for your arrival." And then you tell us, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas gives one of those great dumb questions or statements that we get at the Last Supper, although I would have made exactly the same question, and perhaps a dumber one. "We know where you're going, Jesus, now. We know it was obviously heaven." I love the dumbness of the apostles at the Last Supper. And in general, it's a bit like those comedy duos where one has to be the dumb guy so the other can come out with a witty line. The dumbness of the apostle, Lord Jesus, only brings out more clearly your genius. So Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And you tell us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wow, what an answer. Jesus, you are the way to salvation. You are the knowledge of salvation. You are the power, the being of salvation. In you is all salvation. And St. Augustine would make the point that we don't need to look for the way because the way has come to us in the humanity of Christ. It's like you're going on a journey. You want to find a motorway to go on. Well, the motorway comes to you. It comes to your door. Jesus, you've come to us. But yet, you are the only way. No one can come to the Father except through me, you tell us. So today's readings open our minds and hearts to heaven and all the love with which God is preparing our place there. So let's not fear. Let's not fear death, which is the door to heaven. I once heard a priest saying about a question he would ask primary school kids, little kids, when he went to visit the school. He'd say to the kids, how many of you would like to go to heaven? And of course, all the hands went up. And then immediately after, he'd ask, how many of you would like to go to heaven today? And then only a few hands went up. They didn't really appreciate what heaven is. If they did, all the hands would have gone up. They would have all wanted to go to heaven today. Because heaven is so much better than this earth. St. Teresa of Avila called life on earth a bad night in a bad inn. I see it as a dirty corridor with two doors at the end. This is life on earth. One door to heaven, via a bit of a wash and scrub down in purgatory, but then heaven. And the other door leads to hell. And there's like a moving walkway to each. You have to choose your walkway. Now you can go from one to the other, but the more one stays on one walkway, the harder it is to go to the other. So let's get on the walkway to heaven, which isn't an easy one, but it's a happy one. The way to hell has a lot more comfort, but a lot more sadness. And let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Heaven, to guide us to heaven, particularly in this month of May. Show us the way, Mother. You who are Stella Maris, Star of the Sea, your bright star will guide us over the sea of this life and all its storms and darkness to the eternal homeland of heaven. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 15 past the hour on Daybreak. It's Friday, May 5th, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This day of prayer begins right now as we join the whole church, led by our friends at DivineOffice.org, in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is He who set it on the seas, on the waters He made it firm.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek Him. Seek the face of the God of Jacob.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let let him enter, the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who is he? The King of glory. He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Our fathers have told us of the Lord's power. They have recounted for us his marvelous deeds. Alleluia. Give heed, my people, to my teachings. Turn your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and reveal hidden lessons of the past.
The things we have heard and understood, the things our fathers have told us, these we will not hide from their children, but will tell them to the next generation. The glories of the Lord and his might, the marvelous deeds he has done, the witness he gave to Jacob, the law he established in Israel.
He gave a command to our fathers to make it known to their children, that the next generation might know it, the children yet to be born.
They too should arise and tell their sons, that they too should set their hope in God and never forget God's deeds, but keep every one of his commands, so that they might not be like their fathers, a defiant and rebellious race, a race whose heart was fickle, whose spirit was unfaithful to God.
The sons of Ephraim, armed with a bow, turned back in the day of battle. They failed to keep God's covenant and would not walk according to his law.
They forgot the things he had done, the marvelous deeds he had shown them. He did wonders in the sight of their fathers, in Egypt, in the plains of Zoan.
He divided the sea and led them through and made the waters stand up like a wall. By day, he led them with a cloud. By night, with a light of fire.
He split the rocks in the desert. He gave them plentiful drink as from the deep. He made streams flow out from the rock and made waters run down like rivers. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Our fathers have told us of the Lord's power, and they have recounted for us his marvelous deeds.
Alleluia.
The children of Israel ate the manna and drank from the spiritual rock, which followed after them.
Alleluia. Yet still they sinned against him. They defied the Most High in the desert. In their heart they put God to the test by demanding the food they craved.
They even spoke against God. They said, "Is it possible for God to prepare a table in the desert?"
It was he who struck the rock. Water flowed and swept down in the torments. But can he also give us bread? Can he provide meat for his people?
When he heard this, the Lord was angry. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel for having no faith in God, for refusing to trust in his help.
Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the gates of heaven. He rained down manna for their food and gave them bread from heaven.
Mere men ate the bread of angels. He sent them an abundance of food. He made the east wind blow from heaven and roused the south wind by his might.
He rained food on them like dust, winged fowl like the sands of the sea. He let it all fall in the midst of their camp and all around their tents.
So they ate and had their fill, for he gave them all they craved. But before they had sated their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He slew the strongest among them, struck down the flower of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The children of Israel ate the manna and drank from the spiritual rock which followed after them.
Alleluia. They remembered that God was their helper and redeemer.
Alleluia.
Despite this, they went on sinning. They had no faith in his wonders. So he ended their days like a breath, and their years in a sudden ruin.
When he slew them, then they would seek him, return and seek him in earnest. They would remember that God was their rock, God the Most High, their Redeemer.
But the words they spoke were mere flattery. They lied to him with their lips, for their hearts were not truly with him. They were not faithful to his covenant.
Yet he who is full of compassion forgave their sin and spared them. So often he held back his anger when he might have stirred up his rage.
He remembered they were only men, a breath that passes never to return.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, Shepherd of your Church, in order to strengthen our faith and to lead us to the kingdom, you renewed and far surpassed the marvels of the old law. Through the uncertainties of this earthly journey, lead us home to the everlasting pastures.
They remembered that God was their helper and redeemer.
Alleluia. Christ Jesus, you have risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Let the heavens and the earth rejoice. Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, watched, and one of the seven angels who were holding the seven bowls came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the judgment in store for the great harlot who sits by the waters of the deep. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the earth's inhabitants have grown drunk on the wine of her lewdness." The angel then carried me away in spirit to a desolate place where I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast, which was covered with blasphemous names. This beast had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and other jewels. In her hand, she held a gold cup that was filled with the abominable and sordid deeds of her lewdness. On her forehead was written a symbolic name: Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and all the world's abominations. I saw that woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy ones and the blood of those martyred for their faith in Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. The angel said to me, "Why are you so taken aback? I will explain to you the symbolism of the woman and of the seven-headed and 10-horned beast carrying her. The beast you saw existed once, but now exists no longer. It will come up from the abyss once more before going to final ruin. All the men of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of the living from the creation of the world shall be amazed when they see the beast, for it existed once and now exists no longer, and yet it will exist again. Here is the clue for one who possesses wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits enthroned. They are also seven kings. Five have already fallen, one lives now, and the last has not yet come. But when he does come, he will remain only a short while. The beast, which existed once but now exists no longer, even though it is an eighth king, is really one of the seven and is on its way to ruin. The ten horns you saw represent ten kings who have not yet been crowned, but they will possess royal authority along with the beast, but only for an hour. Then they will come to agreement and bestow their power and authority on the beast. They will fight against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Victorious too will be his followers, the ones who were called, the chosen, and the faithful. The angel then said to me, "The waters on which you saw the harlot enthroned are large numbers of people and nations and tongues. The ten horns you saw on the beast will turn against the harlot with hatred. They will strip off her finery and leave her naked. They will devour her flesh and set her on fire. For God has put into their minds to carry out his plan by making them agree to bestow their sovereignty on the beast until his will is accomplished. The woman you saw is the great city which has sovereignty over the kings of the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The rulers of the earth will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will be victorious over them.
For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings.
Hallelujah. He was given a crown, and like a conqueror he rode forth to win still further victories. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Hallelujah.
From a letter to the Corinthians by St. Clement, Pope. Beloved, Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the high priest through whom we present our offerings, and the helper who supports us in our weakness. Through him our gaze penetrates the heights of heaven, and we see, as in a mirror, the most holy face of God. Through Christ, the eyes of our hearts are opened, and our weak and clouded understanding reaches up toward the light. Through him the Lord God willed that we should taste eternal knowledge. For Christ is the radiance of God's glory, and as much greater than the angels as the name God has given him is superior to theirs. So then, my brothers, let us do battle with all our might under his unerring command. Think of the men serving under our military commanders, how well disciplined they are, how readily and submissively they carry out orders. Not everyone can be a prefect, a tribune, a centurion, or a captain of 50, but each man in his own rank executes the orders of the emperor and the officers in command. The great cannot exist without those of humble condition, nor can those of humble condition exist without the great. Always it is the harmonious working together of its various parts that ensures the well-being of the whole. Take our own body as an example. The head is helpless without the feet, and the feet can do nothing without the head. Even our least important members are useful and necessary to the whole body, and all work together for its well-being in harmonious subordination. Let us then preserve the unity of the body that we form in Christ Jesus, and let everyone give his neighbor the deference to which his particular gifts entitle him. Let the strong care for the weak, and the weak respect the strong. Let the wealthy assist the poor, and the poor man thank God for giving him someone to supply his needs. The wise man should show his wisdom not by his eloquence, but by good works. The humble man should not proclaim his own humility, but leave others to do so.
nor must the man who preserves his chastity ever boast of it, but recognize that the ability to control his desires has been given him by another. Think, my brothers, of how we first came into being, of what we were at the first moment of our existence. Think of the dark tomb out of which our Creator brought us into his world, where he had his gifts prepared for us even before we were born. All this we owe to him, and for everything we must give him thanks. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christ is the head of the body, the church, and the first to be born from the dead.
In him you were raised to life, by faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Alleluia.
In Christ the fullness of divinity dwells in bodily form, and in him you find your own fulfillment. You were buried with him in baptism.
In him you were raised to life, by faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, author of our freedom and of our salvation, listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you, and under your protection, rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
23 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming right up along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. For Friday of the fourth week of Easter, it's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord tells his apostles that he's leaving and is going to get things ready for them. They still don't quite get it. It's from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going.
Thomas said to him,
Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?
I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Now, don't neglect reading Scripture, especially the Gospel, on a regular basis. You'll always find something that points straight at you. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. St. Paul taught the early Christians that the Word of God is living and active. It is always relevant, always new for each person, new each day, and besides, it is personal because it is destined expressly for each of us. As we read the gospel, we will recognize ourselves in some character in a parable, or we will feel that certain words are aimed at us in a particular way. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son. These times are also our times. Jesus Christ continues speaking to us. As his words are divine and eternal, they are always relevant and up to date. In a certain sense, what the gospel narrates is happening today, now, in our lives. The prodigal son is leaving home or returning to his father today. Likewise, sheep wander off today and get lost, and the shepherd goes looking for them. Leaven is needed today to transform the lump and light to enlighten the darkness of sin. The gospel reveals to us the meaning of our life and its value and shows us the path we ought to follow. the true light, the word that enlightens every man, was coming into the world. And that word is addressed to every man without exception. That is why the gospel should be for us a source of aspirations which feed our presence of God during the day. And it is also why we should bring it to our prayer often. If we meditate on the gospel, we will find peace. Power came forth from him and healed them all, St. Luke tells us on one occasion. That power continues coming forth from Jesus each time we have contact with him and his words, which last eternally. For a Christian, the gospel should be the most important book. For us, it is essential if we are to come to know Jesus Christ. We must look at him and contemplate him until we know him thoroughly, every aspect of his personality. The gospel allows us to become fully immersed in the mystery of Jesus. This is particularly important today as you hear so many confusing ideas about this most transcendental topic for mankind. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the cornerstone. Don't go astray in the mist and the fog, but rather listen to the voice of the shepherd. Fall back on Holy Scripture. There you will find the delight of your heart. You will find nothing there that will harm or poison you. Rich is the food you will find there. Frequently, it's good to do our gospel reading first thing in the morning, trying to focus on some practical point which can help us in our presence of God during the day or help us imitate our Lord in some aspect of our activity. For example, trying to be more cheerful, being more kind to others, more attentive to those who are suffering, accepting tiredness. Thus, almost without realizing it, that great desire could become a reality in us. How I wish your bearing and conversation were such that on seeing or hearing you, people would say, "This man reads the life of Jesus Christ." That would be a great benefit not only for ourselves, but also for those who live or work with us or who have contact with us. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. It's 14 minutes before the hour on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's pray with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born. A sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, and I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God, but a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. burnt offering from me, you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
Let all men speak of the Lord's majesty and sing his praises in Jerusalem.
O Jerusalem, holy city, he scourged you for the work of your hands, but will again pity the children of the righteous.
Praise the Lord for his goodness, and bless the King of the ages, so that his tent may be rebuilt in you with joy.
May he gladden within you all who were captives, all who were ravaged, may he cherish within you for all generations to come.
A bright light will shine to all parts of the earth. Many nations shall come to you from afar, and the inhabitants of all the limits of the earth, drawn to you by the name of the Lord God, bearing in their hands their gifts for the King of heaven.
Every generation shall give joyful praise in you, and shall call you the Chosen One, through all ages, forever.
Go, then, rejoice over the children of the righteous, who shall all be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the ages.
Happy are those who love you, and happy those who rejoice in your prosperity.
Happy are all the men who shall grieve over you, over all your chastisements, for they shall rejoice in you as they behold all your joy forever.
My spirit blesses the Lord, the great King.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God.
He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with finest wheat.
He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow, white as wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He hurls down hailstones like crumbs. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow.
He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel, his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All-powerful God, it is through your church, generously endowed with gifts of grace and fortified by the Holy Spirit, that you send out your word to all nations. Strengthen your church with the best of all food and make it dauntless in faith. Multiply its children to celebrate with one accord the mysteries of your love
at the altar on high.
I saw the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The God of our Father has raised up Jesus, whom you put to death, hanging him on a tree. He whom God has exalted at his right hand as ruler and Savior is to bring repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We testify to this. So too does the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those that obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
I go now to prepare a place for you, but I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you also may be. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I go now to prepare a place for you, but I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you also may be. Alleluia. God the Father raised up Christ through the Spirit, and will also raise up our mortal bodies. Let us cry out to him.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit.
All Holy Father, you accepted the holocaust of your Son in raising him from the dead.
Accept the offering we make today and lead us to eternal life.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. Look with favor on all we do today,
that it may be for your glory and the sanctification of the world.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. May our work today not be in vain, but for the good of the whole world.
And through it lead us to your kingdom.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes today to recognize our brothers and sisters, and our hearts to love them,
so that we may love and serve each other.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. And as we end this week, we offer the prayers and needs of our own hearts. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit.
Now let us offer the prayer Christ has given us as the model for all prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, author
of our freedom and of our salvation. Listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you, and under your protection, rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
As I said earlier, it is a day of penance, so try to find some mortification that you can do today, big or small. Morning Air is coming up next. I'm Paul Sadek. See you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the app. Go out, make it a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.